Lord has given Leah and I three different events, and I don't know that I've shared it before, but one was a knowing, one was a dream, and one was a vision that Leah had, and it all had to do with a weakness in my life. And it's one of those weaknesses that I'm able to share. And the other ones are the nunyas that Gary always talks about. But the first one was a race. We were running a distance. It seemed like it was a short distance, like 100 yards or whatever. And we were all lined up in this dream, or the vision was a race was beginning, and we were all on the starting line, and I jumped offside before they fired the gun, and I completely disqualified myself for the race that I had prepared to run, that I prayed about running, that I was anxious to run, but I decided to jump off sides, and I disqualified myself. I'm thankful that it was just a dream. The next one was I don't have the right words for it, but I believe you understand. You know the horses that jump over bushes and, you know, and they prepare to jump, and there's water on the other side, and whatever you call that. I didn't know a horse was born to do that, but, you know. And there were two horsemen, or there were two horses that entered into the stadium, and one horse and rider was very united. They were both doing what they were qualified to do, and it was sort of beautiful to see the unity between the horse and the rider. The other horse and the rider, the horse was always chomping at the bit and always wanting to run, and the rider had to pull back the reins, keep pulling back the reins, because the rider knew that the strength that was needed to win the race had to be in his timing, had to be reserved so that they could guess who that horse was. It was me. And the third thing was when the Lord said very clearly, you need to learn to go at my speed. Who's laughing? Okay. You know, you need to go at my speed. You will win the race, and you are in the race to run, but you will win it if you go at my speed. So, that's part of the message today, or part of, really it's not a message as much as it is sharing. So, you know this by heart, but if you'll repeat after me, please. Now, Father, in preparation, I forgive every person their trespasses against me. Father, forgive me all my trespasses against you. I am freshly washed in the blood of the Lamb in order that my record in heaven be perfect. Therefore, I say, because of the blood, what Jesus did for me, according to my record in heaven, I have never failed God. I hope we're learning that that is truth, and that is eternal, and that is life, and that is light, and that is the foundation for our stand. I would like you to see, do you ever remember when the Lord has ever said to you personally, I'm disappointed in you? Has he ever said to you, I'm mad at you? Has he ever said, I'm so discouraged with you? I'm so angry. How about has he ever said, I am so brokenhearted over you? I am so heavy-hearted over you. Real quiet in here. I'm fortunate to have every word. You would call them a prophecy. You could call them a word of knowledge. You could call them a word of wisdom. I have every word that the Lord has ever spoken to the prayer center since 1989. Every word, every prophecy. I have it in a single document. Yes, you will get yours. Yes, I promise. I promise under the Lord that when they're complete, you will get your copy. But since 1989, he has never, ever said, I'm disappointed in you. He has never said, I'm discouraged with you. He has never said, I'm sorry. You haven't done what I've asked you to do. Every time you think a thought like that, you know it's the enemy. You know it's the enemy. You know it's a portion of your unrenewed soul that comes into agreement with that. It is not your born-again spirit, for sure. Because it did not come from the Lord. And what it seemed like over the last several weeks, that I felt as though that we have, as a family, as friends, that we have taken on a level of condemnation because we really are only learning, but we do not know who we really are in Him. In Him. Whatever type of conversations you have with your best friend, I hope that it is not discussing how much you failed or how much you're discouraged. He has said over that length of time that I am grieved. That I am grieved. He's only said it twice. Only twice. Would you like to hear what he's grieved about? I didn't hear a yes. I didn't hear a pretty please with sugar on it either. And no, you can't have my notes. I will read the two times that he has said, I'm grieved. Now hear what the Spirit would say For there are times that I am grieved over things, and I am grieved over them because I cannot find what I need to lay upon the foundation of what you have. Yet you are almost within range, and at times you are within range and you go back and forth. And oh, it grieves me, says the Lord, when I cannot give you what I need to give you. Isn't that something? Second time, you know what it talks in the Bible about a man robbing God. Do you want to know what I am most grieved about being robbed of? I am grieved about my children not allowing me to lavishly demonstrate all that I am to and for them. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? If you turn to Philippians 4:8, or just mark it down at the speed, hopefully I'm not gone over the speed limit, but I'd like to read Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are true, my word. My word is the truth, the life, the light. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, I'm not a man that I can lie. So every single thing I have ever said or ever will say is truth. Okay, is honest. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things as a man thinketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh, the Lord is only, I shouldn't say only, the Lord will only talk to you and share with you from a heart of love. It's interesting when Gary said recently to us that someone who prophesies a true prophecy, that they don't have an opportunity to review it before they say it. That when they're saying it, they heard it at the same time they're speaking it. So what you have in front of you or have left at home, the present day speaking, every one of those is what the heart of the Father is for us, without exception. And you will not find anywhere that he has ever brought any condemnation whatsoever to you as an individual. Okay. The attack against the prayer center, and there's more than one, but it's you living in an area where the enemy is continually bringing you under some level of condemnation to rob you of the gift that you are to the body of Christ. You are the vessel to bring the Father's kingdom from heaven to earth. He has no other. That's you. The Lord gave me one word when I was going through this. I'm going to read it slow. I would like to not have to be able to read it. I would like to be able to just speak it and know it so thorough inside of me and have lived it so thorough that I could just share it with you. I'm not there yet. I'm going to be there, though. This happened to come. Normally, I don't give the dates, but this happened to come in 1997. So because he speaks from eternity, past, present, and future, as far as he's concerned, he's speaking this today just like he was speaking it in 97. He doesn't change his mind, right? He doesn't have to. I think you would call him thinking outside of the box. My life through you carries no condemnation, says the Lord. If you could visualize my life flowing through your veins instead of your own blood, understand that no condemnation flows with it. For I come not to judge you, but to save you, says the Lord. When you put your trust in me, you already passed from condemnation, and you have already entered into eternal life. There is no condemnation flowing from the throne through to you. None whatsoever. We did the confession, Father, forgive me, forgive everybody that trespassed against me. According to my record in heaven, I've never failed you. You know how many times he has said that over and over and over again, let alone it being a confession that we do a calling in the lost? Okay. Condemnation comes from your enemy, the accuser of the brethren. And it is that very accusations, that very slander from the evil one that hinders your believing. Listen not to his voice. Listen not to religion, but hearken to the voice of my Spirit and obey the message I deliver to you. That's an instruction. You could call it a command. In essence, he's saying, somehow, tell the enemy to shut up. Somehow, let your voice and what you know the word says to be louder than his voice. In the first service this morning, we sat for probably 5 minutes, I guess, and just said the name Jesus. In the realm of the Spirit, that name shuts up every demonic activity. It also shuts up your soul, the unrestored portion. Listen not to a voice, listen not to religion, but hearken to the voice of the Spirit and obey the message I deliver to you. The husk will diminish and the life of Christ in you will increase until the fruit shall also appear on the limbs, says the Lord. The healing that comes to the soul comes as your soul is knit together with mine, says the Lord. As you spend time with me through worship, through meditation, through confession, through prayer, as you spend time with me, my soul is revealed to your soul. My thoughts become your thoughts. Even my emotions, says the Lord, becomes your emotions, and my peace becomes your peace. In the midst of every circumstance, in the midst of every fiery dart, in the midst of everything that hell can throw at you, my emotions, my thoughts, my peace, my joy, and my victory flows through you. Like blood flows through your veins, and you rise up as one and say, my God reigns in Jesus' name. When this was first given, the individual that gave it or was used of the Lord had a vision. The individual that gave this word was Gary Carpenter. Normally, I don't say that, but this came through Gary in 1997. And here's what Gary's seen. Gary's seen that Jesus walked over in front of Leah and looked at Leah and looked at his hand and said, I see her face there. She's mine. Boy, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. She's right there in the palm of my hand. Walked over to Mike. He's seen the nail scar, seen the hole, and in that hole was Mike's picture. Isn't that something? Mike is in the palm of my hand. He remains there. There's no condemnation. He's in me. I'm in him. I took all the condemnation that he could ever take or ever want to take. I removed it all. He's right there in the palm of my hand. He did that to each one of you. Did that to each one of you. Okay. Yes, you're engraved on the palms of his hand, all right. And it's every time he looks at the nail scarred in the palms, he sees you. Who shall lay anything to the charge of the elect? If you want to turn to Isaiah 49, let's prove. Let's not take for granted. Well, it's not taken for granted. But let's just verify what the Lord is saying. I'll read it to you. It's Isaiah 49, 13 through 16. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth in singing, O mountains, for the Lord had confronted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. And the Lord answers back, listen, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Put it into something that I can better understand. Listen. Songs for joy, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord had comforted his people and will have compassion upon his afflicted. But Zion, Jerusalem, her people, has seen in captivity, said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. That's what the enemy tells you. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. The Lord has forgotten me. And the Lord answered, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have indelibly printed, tattooed a picture of you on the palm of each of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Take your hands. You realize that your picture is in the palm of his hands? Who can bring anything against you? In Romans it says, what then shall we say to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our sides? He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, with he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect, when it is God who justifies, that is, who puts us in right relationship to himself? Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God, who acquitted us? Who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather who raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as he intercedes for us? I'm going to read the rest. Wasn't going to, but this is not my service. He goes on and says, he says, tell them that I'm pleased with them. Tell them that I'm pleased with them. Tell them that I'm pleased with them. He says, tell them I am pleased with you. Jesus says, I'm pleased with you. Receive it. Believe it. He's pleased with you. Turn to someone slowly and say, Jesus is pleased with you. I think you need to say it again. I think you need to say it from your heart, not as just a statement. If we took 5 minutes like we did this morning and just say to ourselves, Jesus is pleased with me. Jesus is pleased with Tim. Enemy, devil, you understand? Jesus is pleased with me all the time, forever. He's pleased with me. Do you hear me, devil? or whoever. You understand he's pleased with me? He's really pleased with me? He's really pleased with you? For some of you, it's been so long, you've listened to the... Now, I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to... Tim, it's been so long, you've listened to the voice of the enemy for so long, it's hard for you, Tim, to even believe that. Jesus says, Tim, I'm pleased with you. You are my child. You are my offspring. You are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And I'm pleased with you. I love you, says the Lord. Someone just needs to tell you once in a while that Jesus still loves you. I don't care what the accuser has been saying. Jesus is the Savior of the whole world, and especially to those that put their faith in His name. Corporately, He says the following: My glory shall be seen in this place, says the Lord, and sooner than most expect. Even though this was said in 1997, He said in 1997, how many years ago is that? 20? What? How many? 17. 17 years ago, He said, My glory shall be seen in this place, says the Lord, and sooner than most expect. For I am the great King. I do have all authority in heaven and in earth. My willingness shall be shown, for those who will see will receive from my hand. My willingness shall be seen in this place to bring glory to my Father's name, and my glory shall be seen here, says the Lord. I hear Him saying this. I hear Him saying this. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. I can even understand that. Huh? Take my gospel afresh. This is, please. I was part of a ministry one time in the Lord's will, and we had a speaker come, and he was going to have the night service. This morning, in the morning service, we were on television worldwide and filming and et cetera, et cetera. I'm not bragging. It was just the reality of what was going on in our life, Leah's and my life. And this preacher came, was well known, full gospel, loved the Lord, and he told the congregation, I'm going tonight to expose the sin that is in every one of your lives. So if you do not want to be exposed and you cannot handle it, stay home. But if you want to find out what that hidden sin is, come. Naturally, the place was packed out. It seated about 5,000 people. And I won't say there was standing room only, but it was hard to find an extra seat. And he said, I'm going to tell you what the sin is that is in your life, and you don't even know what it is. You have a sin of getting used to it. You have a sin of getting used to it. You have the best music. You have the best preaching. You have the best facility. And you have grown accustomed to it. And you take it for granted. And you no longer walk in a heart that is full of joy and is thankful what the Lord has just given you. The sin of getting used to it. This goes on to say, take my gospel afresh like you've not ever heard it before. Take it like a child for the first time hearing the best news that you've ever heard. For it is the best news you've ever heard, said the Lord. Receive it like a child. Receive it joyfully. Receive it just as it is said. Receive it just as it is written. Don't change it. Don't listen to those who would change it. Receive it, says the Lord. For it is truly yours, and I intend to even do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything that you could ask me for so far. Your eyes shall see it, your hearts will rejoice, and it will be sooner than you expect. There were some, says the Lord, who still will not receive the truth that I am pleased with you. Because immediately the enemy came and started saying the word performance. Performance. Because you relate my love and my esteem for you based on your performance, says the Lord. But my love for you is based upon my love for you and nothing else. Faith is what pleases me, says the Lord. And it took faith for you to be even here today. Even here today. It took faith for you to come today. Every person has come with expectation in your heart. Your faith pleases me, says the Lord. Your faith pleases me. But my love is not based on your performance. My love is based on me. I love you because I love you, says the Lord. Receive it. He's not asking. He's not saying. He's commanding. Receive my love, says the Lord. There is nothing I will not do for you. There is nothing I will not do for you, says the Lord. For those who walk with me, love me, and have fellowship with me, and learn of me, and just spend time with me, and get to know me, for those, there's nothing that I will not do for you. All of heaven and all of the Father's resources belong to you. You are my joint heir, says the Lord, and all that the Father has is thine, because all the Father has is mine. There is nothing I will not do for you, says the Lord. Listen carefully. Ask largely. Ask largely, says the Lord. Ask largely. Small victories are good. But small victories bring small glory to my name. Ask largely. I enjoy large battles. Is that not what we've been in? At least they're larger than last year. I enjoy large battles. For in large battles, my name is glorified among the heathen, that they may know that there is the true and living God, and that he dwells in you. Ask largely, I enjoy great victories, says the Lord. Here's another one. I'm only going to read the areas that has to do with performance. I recently had a time alone with the Lord. Just to be alone, I guess. And I didn't know he was going to have me share this, but it's okay. It's okay. I recently had a time alone with the Lord, and he took me back to the place that we lived in Ohio when I was 9 years old. And he actually allowed me to see myself walking out of my home, going towards the school to play basketball. And my father was there, and my brother was with my father, and they were planting the garden together, and they were enjoying each other together. And the Lord showed me that at that moment, at that time, is where I began to live the rest of my life performing to receive love from a father. Now I'm quite older, I'm much older, and I did not know that inside my soul there was a place that needed to be restored, that I could receive the pure father's love without any performance. And though I consider that I've been a pretty good worker and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I don't know how much of that was motivated by performance to receive love from a father. But I knew that there was something there, and probably more than he was able to show me, that he wanted me to get rid of and restore my soul so that I could walk the rest of my life knowing that he just loves me and that I don't have to perform. Whether you will ever see it or not, I can tell you that inside of me, where I live and where I want to dwell, I have a totally different feeling and knowing about the love of God and how much I'm loved. And the enemy's voice has become much more silent, and it's easier for me to tell him, shut up. And he is coming less often, because I have something inside of me which is knowledge or understanding or truth inside of me, that I know that I'm loved and that I don't have to perform to be loved. The Lord says, I'm going to take the strain out of our relationships with me, out of your relationship with me. The strain has been performance. And the underlining problem has been whether or not your performance has been up to par. It is not about your performance. It is only about who you are in me. I have placed you in the palm of my hand as a treasure that my Son has given me through his redemptive work. Now, this word came forth in 2009. The last one that we read was August 2nd, 1997. So, this many years later, he's still wanting us to know that we are in the palm of his hand, and there was no performance to get there. He put us there because we accepted Christ. I created you for good works, and those works grow as your love grows through your knowledge of me. I created you in him for good works, and the more his nature in you grows, the more those good works grow. They grow hand in hand, but I do not love you for your works, your performance. I love you because you are born of my Spirit and made in my own image. You are mine. You are a member of my household. I am really pleased with how you are persisting. Just continue at this pace each day. Grace will get clearer and clearer. No performance, no one to please or appease. I am already pleased with my nature within you, and you are totally accepted in the Beloved. And you are totally accepted in the Beloved. Totally are you free to receive. There is no hindrance between you and me. My Son removed it all. Free, free to receive of the best of me. I give you all that you need. The liar's accusation against those I love are that God won't do it, when I have already accomplished all the things through my Son. He lies and says you aren't good enough, when in my Son all goodness has been made complete. He lies and says there's something in a life that is still lacking, when it has been proclaimed in truth that all is finished. He has promoted the lie that I bring destruction on my creation for their good, when I have proclaimed in truth that redemption has come for all destruction. He lies and says you are loved only when you do well, when I, in my truth, have proclaimed that mine is an everlasting love. He lies and says you must earn all blessings through your performance, when I've said in truth that all spiritual blessing in heavenly places lies in your place in me now, though through the perfect standing of my Son, have been freely given to you. He lies and says it can't be done, when I have proclaimed in truth that all things are possible to any who believes my truth. The accusations, the guilt, the shame, all being a lying atmosphere of pressure against the truth of who you are in me, in a complete and free, righteous and non in a non-condemnable standing, as my Son is now at my right hand, so are you in Him in this earth. What does unconditional mean to you? What does unconditional mean to you? What does unconditional mean to you? It means that you can come and lie back in the arms of love and rest and receive. It means you must lay all of your performance, good and bad, at the foot of the cross, where those things of the law, which is performance, were made whole and complete. It means that love is merciful indeed, and love has only the vision of the truth of who you are in me. You want me to continue? Have you had enough? One more. Maybe. Oh. How much has the Holy Spirit been talking to us about false responsibility? How much has He been saying that He co-labors with us? How much has He been saying, you know, for quite some time, I'm thankful that I don't know how long, but for some time it was always that in my life it was, the Holy Spirit's going to co-labor with me, so I get to do whatever I want to do, and He's going to co-labor with me. I had it backwards. You know, I'm really co-laboring with Him, with what He wants done, not what I want done. But there is that co-laboring. And we all fall into the trap that if the Holy Spirit is not going to do it, we're going to do it anyway. I'm talking about helping people. I'm talking about doing good things for people. And the Holy Spirit is not asking you to do those good things. Now, don't get me wrong, or don't misunderstand me. That's our whole life, is helper of people's joy. But there are times when the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, what you want to do is not what really needs to be done to help them. And I'm unable to co-labor with you to do that because I see the end from the beginning. And I'm asking you not to start the race before I shoot the gun. I'm asking you, go where I tell you to go, say what I tell you to say, do what I tell you to do, and act the way I tell you to act. That's it. No more. That's exactly what my Son did. I just want you to be a good son. It is false responsibility to look upon your performance and try to measure up to what you perceive to be expected of me. Religion has taught about my expectation, but what has been taught has not been from me. My expectations are not burdensome. My expectations set men free. My expectations give you more of my love, teach you more of my truth, and to enjoy your fellowship, you and me. Don't you know that my joy is you? Don't you know that my joy is you? Don't you know that my expectation is the enjoyment of you? This is my season too, and my expectation is to enjoy you. Come unto my expectation and see like I see. Our enjoyment of each other takes you past many things and positions you in that place of who you really are in me. As you enter into this time of building your hope in me, know one thing. It is not your performance that gives you entrance to the promises you have from me. For I perform all things so that you are now free to receive. Worship is a powerful way to build your hope in me and to position yourself in the place of your standing in me where all is done. Do you know that it is my performance that you stand in? Do you know that it is what I have done for you which gives you this place in me so that all I have is now yours? It is not your performance I am judging, for all has been judged in me. The only matter now is your standing in me. For my performance accounted for all your failings. My sacrifice paid for these things. Take these words to heart. Your account has been paid in full. Your debt is canceled. Your balance sheet is clear and clean. All that keep you apart from the promises that are in me has been cleared from your account, and you are now free to receive. As you step into the hope of your standing in me and the glory that is yours in me, you will see things far beyond what you have dreamed. Battles. Oh, we've all been in battles. Battles don't last forever. Though sometimes it can seem that way. Stay on the side of rejoicing and let who you are in me have the last say. It is done. It is done. It is done. Your life in me is not a performance. It is a standing in me where all is done. You can turn your sheets over now. With this I close. what these sheets represent is, I can't call them homework, but I can call them something that you should study or read or fellowship over lunch with. I wouldn't lose them. What we did is we only bent back to the beginning of 2014, and we pulled out of the prophecies a verse, if you allow me to say it that way. Instead of giving you the entire prophecy, we pulled out the verse or the paragraph or the comment of every time the Lord said, I am. It's to counter attack the enemy, giving you a false vision or a false picture of who the Lord really is to you personally. We went back to the beginning of 2014 and then 2015. I don't have time. I was going to give you other things along with this, but time is really gone. So I'm going to read a couple of them. It's been said many times. I would highly suggest that you read these. I would highly suggest that you enter into your praise and worship time with them. I would highly suggest that you make confessions. I would highly suggest that you read these back to the Lord. I would highly suggest that you would tell the devil or whoever the enemy, whoever's coming against you, some of these you can read right to him. The last two pages, I am love, God is who I am. When this was being worked on and developed, the Lord interrupted. Well, how can the Lord interrupt? The Lord said, don't start the race yet. The Lord said, hold on a minute. I have something to say to my family now. And this was a prophecy that came forth when the document was being developed. Okay. It is, in my opinion, not any newer than everything else. It is just that he has condensed it maybe, or he's putting on two pages. But this is who you are to him. This is who you will always be to him. And you will find no condemnation. You'll find no discouragement. He is, if he asks us to be a helper of each other's joy, he sent the Holy Spirit to be the greatest helper of all of our joy, you know. Let's read the first one. I'm raising up a family who will trust me and follow my steps and not be afraid that I will abandon them. And when all hell comes against them, they will walk through because they will not let go of me. You can, I don't know how long you would like to meditate on that. I don't, in your, you know, but how many of you, without raising your hand, how many of you feel as though that hell has come against you this year? That's a no-brainer. I mean, that's, it's an automatic, okay? It's not, we're not able to really address that or talk about that out in public, you know, because, but the bottom line of it is the war seems to have increased, but I believe it's because of the speed that he's asking us to go at. And really, really, when we really look at it close, we're just having more victories quicker. He's anxious, and we have come to the point that we've evidently worked out somewhere in the Spirit by doing the message, by praying, etc., that he's saying, okay, when Alan drove that stake in the ground and woke up all the enemies all around to say, we've just taken this ground back from you. Come see if you can take it back. The enemy thinks he's going to win, and the Lord would never send us into a battle that he hasn't already won. So yeah, there is a little war. Yeah, and yeah, it seems like hell, you know. But, okay, he said we're going to walk through it. He didn't say we're going to stumble. He didn't say we're going to fall down and have to get up. He didn't say we're going to be marred or scarred. We'll walk through it because, you know, that's who we are. I could go on. Go to number 16. Think not that I do not listen. I listen especially for your families, for your sons and your daughters who are abroad and who are spread wide. You mention their name, I am there. You mention just their name, I'm there. You hold them up, I will send people to get them and save them and get them saved if they're not saved. All I need for you is the authority to do this, and I will go after them for you, says the Lord. It's amazing the amount that we hold him up because we don't use our authority. But there's no condemnation in that. He's saying, just do the little things. Do the simple thing. Why don't you just mention their name? I didn't ask you to fast, though he does ask you to fast. Don't get me wrong, you know. He didn't ask you to go in intercession, and yet you will go into intercession, you know. But will you just mention their name? Number 18. For I am bestowing honor on this place, calling you into the deeper things, that even more of your life may be consumed on the altar of His will. I am calling you even deeper and farther beyond those realms where the flesh will walk with you, beyond the realm where those realms where your flesh will walk with you. I am honoring this place. You know how many times he has said that through the years? I'm honoring you. I'm honoring this place. I am drawing you into the realm where the Son's voice is heard clear, and where the power flows through, and where heaven is brought to earth, and my Father's will is manifested. Well, you have something to take home and something to enjoy and something to take to lunch with you and said, did you read this one? Did you know he said that? What about that? What was it that John said? John chapter 21. I'd love to go through the whole. I'd love to do the whole chapter, but I'm only going to go to the last verse because that's what he reminded me of when you only have 2014 and 15 here. He said, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, and which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Blessings. You can consider yourself dismissed. If you come for prayer, please come. I will tell you that the love that I was talking about non-performance, I know that love is available. And I know also that the battles that we're going to be going through and have already went through, that you feel as though you have lost, you have not lost a one of them. It is how you look at yourself and how you look at your performance instead of His performance, and instead of you just being obedient. Everyone that we feel as though we've lost, you can dwell on that and dwell on that. And one of the words that come forth again, that He said that in a war there will be casualties, and that you are not to take the responsibility of the casualties. You have been found faithful, and that there are casualties. Jesus did not take the responsibility of Judas when he betrayed him. Love you.